DW Africa Link.
Imagine walking into a hospital when you are sick, you are told the medicine you need is gone. That's what many patients in Malawi face every day. Long waits, empty shelves, and prescriptions they simply can't fill. Why? Because a deep-rooted web of drug theft is quietly bleeding the country's health system dry. In today's episode, we'll unpack how corruption, poor oversight, and a thriving black market are turning a health crisis into a silent emergency. My name is Josephine Mahachi. This is Africa Link Podcast, and today's story is one we all need to hear. Stay with us.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Today we are shining a light on a crisis that's hitting Malawi hard: the theft of essential medical drugs. Every year, around 30% of Malawi's medicines simply disappear. That's not just a number, it's the difference between life and death for so many people. Some of these stolen drugs, including critical antiretrovirals, end up being smuggled and sold in places like South Africa. Even more alarming, about 35% of private clinics have been caught selling medicines that are supposed to be free. With public hospitals running out of stock, patients are now left with no choice but to buy expensive alternatives if they can afford them in the first place. This is not just a Malawi issue. This story reflects a much bigger continent-wide problem where stolen medicine feeds illegal markets and public trust in healthcare is fading. To break this down with me today, I'm joined by Maziko Matemba, a public health expert in Malawi, as well as our correspondent in Lilongwe, Chimwemwe Padata.
Drug theft is one of the serious challenges which the Malawi Ministry of Health continues to grapple with. And I would make reference to findings that were presented by the Global Fund in the year 2016 with statistics showing that almost 35% of drugs that are found in private healthcare facilities were diverted from Malawi's public hospitals. And these findings only show that drug theft is a syndicate involving health workers, and sometimes it also involves people who manage warehouses where these drugs are stored. And we have also had reports of drugs being stolen during the transportation from these warehouses to the health facilities. So I would say that drug theft is considered as one of the contributing factors for shortage of drugs in Malawi hospitals. And also at the moment, it also shows that huge sums of money is lost to drug theft, which amounts to at least 30% of the drug budget here in Malawi. And another thing to also point out is that people mostly encounter when they go to these public health facilities is that you find one medical practitioner working at a certain facility and the drugs are not there. But surprisingly, you are referred to buy the drugs, these same drugs at a nearby pharmacy. And when you try to find out, you establish that owners of such a pharmacy is the same medical practitioner who you met at this public health facility. I would say this clearly shows that drug theft is one of the serious problems in Malawi, a syndicate involving practitioners, pharmacies, well, mostly involved in this malpractice, because we have also seen several pharmacists being arrested in connection with the theft and supply of medical drugs and products here in Malawi.
Now, Maziko, you are our health expert today, and just to also attend to you, how rampant is this drug theft in the country's health facilities? If you can really break it down for us, quantify it, and where exactly do these stolen drugs end up?
Yes, indeed. Drug theft has been a problem, and there have been a lot of studies which Malawi government has done through the Ministry of Health and Partners. Several studies to identify where are the gaps in terms of drug theft in our facilities. As you are aware that Malawi health system, it's mostly free at the point of delivery. If you would compare Malawi and other countries, Malawi is one of the countries where we've got a free healthcare system. And also, as we're aware that most of the drugs in Malawi, I think normally they have been supported or funded, including vaccine, by our global health initiative partners. So with that free care health systems has got its own weaknesses, because it's like people are not buying them, but I think they're receiving them because the government and partners, they are providing because of the policy which you have. The Minister of Health made a condition that because of the, you remember in the early 90s, Ministry was losing a lot of professional health workers. So what the government did was that to allow them to operate private pharmacies or private hospitals in the means of retaining them, because there was a problem of retaining the health workers, because we had a crisis, human resource crisis, where doctors were being trained, but they were not staying in the country. They were going outside the country. So part of retaining the doctors was to allow them maybe to run private facilities. But having said that, as you know, for you to run a facility, you need to have medicines or commodities for you to run that facility. It's only just running that facility for sake of it. The same people who are also operating in the public health facilities, at the same time, they're also running their own facilities. So to distinguish the two, between working in the public facility, but also in the private facility where they're operating, that is where I think we saw that maybe there was also a gap or a loophole in the system. But as you are aware, that is the issues of Malawi as a country able to compensate the remuneration for our health workforce, which I think is very low. If you see our doctors, our specialists, how much they receive per month, you find that they are receiving very, very small amount of money, which I think their career is very competitive outside there in Europe and Western countries. So it was also a part and parcel of trying to retain them. So over time, we have seen that most of the doctors, pharmacists and others have been retained because of that policy. But as I said, it has got so in terms of coming up with what these things, I think, comes because of free healthcare system at the point of delivery. At the same time, the issues to do, how do we retain our professional, medical professionals in the system. In terms of quantification on how much, another study which was conducted by the development partners and government some years back, it shows that 95% of the drugs normally they get missing or they're not well recorded at the point of care delivery. It's only 5%, which normally at the national warehouse, the central medical stores. It shows that at the central medical stores, which is they were the major housing of medicines and drugs, there's not much medicines which they get lost. It's only around 5%, but the 95% is at the point of delivery. So there have been a number of initiatives which government has done over time. One of such, which we also advocated as advocates in the sector, was to make sure how to do what to close the loopholes. One of the such of roving loopholes was to allow the Minister of Health to organize a task force within the Ministry of Law Enforcers. So the task force involves the Minister of Health and Corruption Bureau, the Auditor General, we have the police, and of course, other law enforcing agents. So what they normally do is that that task force, they go out when indeed they want to do inspections. We have a tip-off with one of our audit firms, which I think they signed an agreement with government, Ministry of Health, so that they can tip them in terms of when they've heard of any drug privilege or any person selling drugs so that they can follow through. But I think the major one, which I can ably mention, is that the 95% which get lost is because of our point of delivery.
Right. And you know, a lot of African countries are actually yearning for this free healthcare system in their countries. But clearly, listening to you, Maziko, it looks like there are advantages and also greater disadvantages to this free healthcare system. And this is a problem that has been reported on, but it seems there is no end in sight to stop this drug theft in Malawi. Why though, Maziko?
The issue, reason why I think this problem is still there is because, as I've mentioned, that our primary healthcare delivery of service is free of charge. We also advocated to have the hospital ombudsman as part and parcel of communities or patients being reporting if indeed they have noticed any drug privilege within the facility. And also we have health advisory committees, which involve other community members into that committee. But in terms of the hospital advisory committee, one of the key challenges which we noted was that the capacity of our community members who are dealing. You know, this is a technical issue. You need someone who has got knowledge about public health a little bit, but also maybe someone who has gone to school, at least at middle or high learning institutions. So as civil society, what we have done on that matter, we have encouraged that most of the key members in that committee, that would be at least people, community members or community-based organizations, at least who have got a basic qualification, who can understand the drug supply chain. Another issue, which now has been debatable, is the issue which we are discussing on the payment, that maybe people start pay a little something to access care. But as you're aware that we are claimed as one of the success countries in terms of having free health services, it's been recommended that the model which Malawi is using, despite the challenges, is the best model.
In your opinion, Maziko, do you think if there's a small fee that is tagged to the citizens to pay, do you think it will help?
I can say yes or no, because it also depends on strengthening the loopholes and the system on how the drugs have been absorbed or have been managed. But the biggest question which comes in is management and leadership. And management and leadership has been identified as one of the key bottlenecks in our health system. How are managers being accountable? Because it's issues of accountability. If indeed drugs are missing, how can someone be accountable? Can someone be arrested? But also another issue which I wanted just to add is to have qualified pharmacists or pharmacy assistant at the health facility level. Because one of the key challenges that what we noted...
That should be the norm. A pharmacist has to be qualified for them to be able to dispense medication, no?
Yes, but as you know, with the scarce of that cadre, the pharmacy assistant or pharmacist in our facilities, as you know, we have gap in human resources, I've already mentioned. For example, Malawi currently trains about 60 pharmacists in a year. Most of them, when they are trained, they open their own pharmacies. Because for you to open a pharmacist, you make more money than maybe working in government. So that is another issue which I think government of Malawi, but also other low-income countries are faced with. If they can raise the bar in terms of remuneration of health workers and also put strict measures in terms of making sure that some of these loopholes are being controlled, I think we can make a difference.
Just to also tend to Chimwemwe a little bit to find out we don't forget all these reasons and aspects that you've spoken about, how the media is also covering the drug theft story in Malawi. Who are they blaming for it? What have you discovered as a reporter, Chimwemwe?
Yeah, thanks so much. A lot of stories that have been covered on this malpractice of the syndicate of smuggling drugs and stealing drugs from public health facilities. It shows that the smuggling of drugs does not only involve health professionals. I would also mention that the stealing of drugs during the procurement processes, you'd see that contracts that are awarded to these people to procure the drugs for supply in the public health facilities, the procurement process is not that legit. So I would mention those two instances, the procurement and transportation, as well as the involvement of some procurement officers who have in the past also been involved in this malpractice. Apart from that, we have also witnessed several arrests of pharmacists for alleged involvement in the theft of drugs. And I also make a reference to a study that was done by the Ministry of Health between 2015 and 2017, which also showed that drugs are stolen largely during the procurement, transportation, and storage of at the storage facilities of these drugs. So I would mention those instances. I also include some medical professionals who are working in the public facilities who resort to opening their own private health centers. When you visit a private health center, you find that drugs that are meant for public facilities are in stock. I'll give an example of anti-malaria drugs that are supposed to be accessed free of charge in public facilities by Malawians. But a sad situation is that when people go to these public facilities, they are told that there is no medication available, but they can go to a nearby drugstore and buy the medication at a fee, which is very unfortunate. And you look at the economic burden which the country is experiencing, and not everyone can afford these drugs if it is not to be accessed at these public facilities.
Right. Now to you, Maziko, if you want to comment or maybe add something on that. I hear also Chimwemwe mentioned storage, which could there also be an invisible hand behind this theft, Maziko?
Yes, I think I can say, yes, there can be some invisible hand, more especially as what Chimwemwe has mentioned on the procurement, because some loopholes can also be at the procurement. Of course, the PPDA, which is our national procurement authority within, they've been also trying to counter some of these loopholes, because sometimes some of the loopholes can be overcharging some of these drugs that have been procured. I remember there was a time where we had a conversation with the private procurement agents of medicines. They had a bill with government to pay them, because as you know that we have almost two or not three sources of how drugs are procured. One is through the Central Medical Stores, which is a trust. It is a government-led trust, and they procure on behalf of government. Another procurement source is through the private procurement agents. So we found out that under the private, sometimes they could connive with the district health offices to overcharge some of the drugs which have been procured. So what government did was to lessen the procurement by private and then concentrate much on the central medical stores. So there have been a conversation where sometimes these private buyers can connive with the district hospitals so that they can be overcharging some of these drugs. Amat also mentioned to commend the central medical stores through support from the World Bank. They have tried to improve the capacity and the systems of our central medical stores, the major procurer of drugs in Malawi, to close some of these loopholes by putting necessary incentives to close the gaps. For example, to make sure that our national warehousing, medical warehousing, they've been monitored by cameras, but also been monitored by a system in terms of coding, in terms of distribution, the capacity of our accountability agents within the facilities is not as that adequate, but also they are not compensated, they are not motivated, because for you to be a watchdog in that facility, to be watching some of these things, you have to be motivated, because these are just people who volunteer. So volunteerism has got a limit.
Right, right. Last year, in August, Maziko, I actually had an exclusive conversation with President Lazarus Chakwera, and he painted a glossy picture of the country. That's Malawi. But when it comes to drug theft, like we are discussing now, it appears that there are some great loopholes in tackling it. Then how would you rate his government's commitment to ending this drug theft?
Previously, it was all over the papers, almost every day. You could hear that today someone has stolen drugs. And so some of the systems are working, but I cannot mention to say that it means everything has been sealed. Some of the systems, I think, are working. For example, the Central Medical Stores, which was because last year, in the past year, we have been invited to the annual Central Medical Stores annual conferences where they report the status of drugs in the country, but also the status of privilege in the country. So we have observed that I think there have been a decline. But some of the sad reports which we are just receiving now is the past, I think, week or so, when we heard that some of our drugs have been sold in South Africa in the open market, and there have been traces that are coming from Malawi.
What type of drugs did you find out that they are smuggling into South Africa? Because I really thought South Africa's healthcare system was one of the best, especially in our region, in Southern Africa.
The one more thing which has been suspected are these communicable drugs. For example, some HIV, TB, or malaria. If you are a foreigner in a different country, you need to have insurance, you need to have all those, most especially undocumented immigrants who are in those countries, maybe they cannot be able to access health services, more especially people who are on treatment, for example. One of the key challenges which maybe can come on with this issue is issues around how do countries share. So it's not maybe we can say maybe being stolen per se. For example, if someone has been given medicine to take ARVs, ART treatment, and you have traveled to go to South Africa, for business or for others. Maybe some people can take those drugs as medication, personal medication. So it also depends if indeed people can also abuse, because there have been a cross-border SADC discussion with support from the World Bank, where they are supporting TB in mines. And some of the conversation which I attended and I participated was, how do we make sure that there being cooperation within countries on how they can co-share cost of drugs or cost of healthcare within countries? Because for Malawi, for example, we have free healthcare at the point of care. But if you go to South Africa, maybe people pay for consultation or other fees. For example, currently, we have 1 million Malawians who are on treatment. We cannot mention those all 1 million that stay in Malawi. Others, they do travel going to other countries for business and for other opportunities.
Right. Now, as we wrap up our discussion, Maziko, since you still have the mic with you, I mean, we've all agreed access to healthcare is everyone's human right, and the continued drug stockouts in public health facilities denies people their right to access care. What role should health mobilizers play in sensitizing the public about buying stolen medicines?
Yes, indeed. We have worked with the Central Medical Source on this so that the health mobilizers like ourselves, media, civil society, interest group, what they need to do is to be wary of how drugs are supposed to be managed. Because drugs do expire, but also if the drugs have been exposed to other extreme temperatures, they can also cause problems to the patients who's taking them. I think we need to have literacy to individuals and people who are on transit, traveling, because maybe government might not be able maybe to share that information. Sometimes people can take it negatively that we are discussing this sensitive issue, which can jeopardize other people's opportunities, but also other people's job can be on risk.
Online,
but people
yeah.
should take it very, very positively that we are trying to close loopholes, because as you know, currently globally, the resources for public health is dwindling at a very fast rate. So if we mismanage drugs, then we can put our lives, but also the people who are seek care in problems.
All right, Chimwemwe, also what role do the media then play in sensitizing the public about this buying these stolen medicines, especially talking of local media?
Yes, true. The media has really played its bit in seeing to it that this malpractice of stealing drugs in public hospitals comes to an end. There have been community-based initiatives to combat medicine theft from public hospitals, and we have seen that the media has been on top of the game reporting about these initiatives. We have also seen that through these initiatives, communities work together with local organizations like one by Maziko to enable them to discuss and find solutions. And apart from sensitizing the masses on how to tackle this problem, we have also seen that organizations have established toll-free lines to allow people report anyone found stealing the drugs. And the media has been on the forefront making public these messages. I can also mention a project that was implemented in the past few years in one of the districts in the central part of Malawi, where communities were getting cash rewards whenever they provide credible information that will lead to the conviction of those stealing drugs.
Maziko Matemba, a public health expert and DW's correspondent in Lilongwe, Malawi, Chimwemwe Padata, many thanks for joining us.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Here at Africa Link, we are always looking beyond borders because often what's happening in one country echoes across the continent. The United States is pulling the plug on $50 million in annual health aid to Zambia. That's just neighboring Malawi. Why? Because life-saving medicines donated for free are being stolen and sold illegally in private pharmacies. An investigation uncovered that drugs meant for HIV and malaria patients are ending up on the black market. And according to Washington, Lusaka was warned about this a year ago, but did nothing. Now, the consequences are hitting hard. How can Malawi and Zambia end the theft of drugs meant for the public? Let us know by commenting on our social media platforms, DW Africa, either on TikTok, YouTube, or Facebook. That's it for this episode of Africa Link. But remember, This space isn't just about listening. It's about connecting. Your thoughts, your experiences, and your voice help shape this conversation. You can catch all of our Africa Link episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This edition was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe and Crispin Mwakideu. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for being with us. Until next time, take care and talk soon.
DW, Made for Minds.